Our next story is about the uncomfortably familiar people who populate the great BBC series The Office. Last year, the creator and star of The Office, Ricky Gervais, won a Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Comedy, and his series won an award as well. Trey Kay looked into what makes this series different from others that have used the white-collar workplace as a stage.
The center of the BBC television program The Office is David Brent, the smarmy, self-involved branch manager of a British paper merchant.
We are the most efficient branch. Cogito ergo sum, we'll be fine.
Who believes that he is God's gift to his workers.
Trust me implicitly. I've said there's not going to be redundancies.
He presents himself as the kindly barrier between them and the suits at the head office.
My only worry is that the powers that be don't come down here and pop their head round the door with their rule book and go, oh, hold on, what's going on here? These people are mucking around, right? Whilst getting the job done, they're having a laugh at work with the sword of Damocles hanging over them, right? This isn't in the rule book. Who's in charge here? Guilty, get a new rule book. All right?
Brent says that he's a friend first, boss second, and an entertainer third. He's a wannabe comedian who's a disillusioned rocker, who is constantly hovering around the office searching for opportunities to tell jokes and show off his celebrity impersonations. If you're feeling low, he might pull out his guitar and sing you a song.
Some I wrote, I hope it helps. The roles you never used your thorns, the ones you loved abandoned you. Your angel face made hearts so warm. You helped the sick, but who helped you? Then rushing through.
Or he'll play a practical joke on you, tell you that you're fired, and reduce you to tears. David Brent is portrayed by Ricky Gervais, who is a co-creator of the show. In the 1980s, Gervais worked as a mid-level manager in an office and had never acted before in his life.
I used to do impressions of people or make up silly sketches just to amuse myself and friends at work. David Brent is not based on any one person. He's a Frankenstein of people that I've met sort of through my adult life, really.
After it dawned on Gervais to build a TV show around his office boss character, he says that he wanted to stay clear of how offices were used in sitcoms like The Dick Van Dyke Show, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Murphy Brown, or The Drew Carey Show. In these shows, The Office was a backdrop for comic stories, but The Office was going to be something a little different.
It's about the minutiae of having a normal job. That it's about, not specifically an office, it's about being thrown into a situation that's arbitrary and it's a collection of people you didn't choose as friends and you have nothing in common with other than you walk on the same piece of carpet for 8 hours a day.
Oh, what is that?
Whoa.
Dave,
whoa.
Right, that is it.
Slow down, you move too fast. Solomon's here.
On the show, there's an antagonistic relationship between co-workers Tim and Gareth, whose desks abut one another. Gareth is fussy about having the items on his desk touched, and Tim is constantly touching them.
Wait, Dave. What? Gareth, what are you doing?
I'm just pushing the stuff off my desk. I can't concentrate.
What's on your desk?
It was. It's all overlapping. It's all coming over the edge here. All right? One word, two syllables. Demarcation, all right?
Eventually, Tim, fed up with Gareth, erects a wall of filing boxes between their workspaces.
What do you do?
I don't actually want to have to look at you, Gareth.
Can't do that.
Why not?
Health and safety.
Health. Why, is it crushed by cardboard or what?
No. Number one, blocking out light. Number two, misuse of company files.
Misuse of files. Yeah, see, this is why the whole redundancy thing doesn't bother me, because if I have to work with him for another day, I will slit my throat.
One of the most striking things about the show is something in the sound mix.
New York Times television critic Virginia Heffernan is a fan of the show.
The whir and the sort of blowing sound of the copy machine is kept very high in the sound mix. And that kind of white noise, I think, is known to people who work in offices and is part of the sort of weird deadening effect that only those kind of offices have. And its counterpart in the look of the show is the fluorescent lights that don't flatter anyone. The dominant color in the show is a kind of cigarette ash gray, sort of storm cloud gray. It's hard even to remember that the show is in color.
In that gray world, some workers are flirting and daydreaming about each other.
Are you going to the party?
Yeah, of course.
Some are scheming to become assistant manager or chief sales rep.
And some of you will lose your jobs, yeah. The good news is, I've been promoted. So, every cloud.
Some of them are trying to figure out just what they're doing there.
Actually, I don't want to spend my life answering phones from some crappy sub-branch paper merchants.
Dawn, work hard. You could be answering those phones in head office.
This is a show that's clearly about people without families who have simply relaxed into the role that's been assigned to them in their job. They're kind of refugees from the whole family system, and that means that there's an air of castaways about them. So that's always a great source of comedy.
Probably the most poignant part of The Office is the slight sadness you feel for the young characters who believe that while punching the clock, they're bridging to the time when they will start living their dream. I asked Gervais if it was these kind of people that he knew when he worked in offices.
When I worked in offices, I didn't really see people that were trying to be rock stars or opera singers or actors. I saw people that were just trying to get a decent life. What they had was a comfortable job with, you know, a decent wage and the inevitable mortgage, wife, possibly kids, nice car, nice holidays, lovely weekends. That was their dream, which is fine. But sometimes it can pass you by if you're not careful. A cosy job can be bad for you in the long run. You know what? Just because you live near it and it's nice and it's not very hard work and you get good holidays, you don't want to wake up when you're 60 and go, "Oh no, I was going to write a book, I forgot," and that's scary.
For Studio 360, I'm Trey Kay.
So what becomes of you, my love, when they have finally stripped you of seeing the handbags and the glad rags that your granddad had to sweat so you could buy? Yeah.
We used to have a political reggae one called Equality Street.
So. Okay.
The full 2-season run of The Office is out on DVD, and you can still see episodes on BBC America. This spring, NBC will premiere its new Americanized version of the show.